Now, if you will, please turn in your Bible to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 4. I was just reading today that in the USA, as you realize, that's where I live, and our flag down there is what is called the Stars and Stripes. And just 201 years ago today, there were two states added to that union. And the thing in the paper said, there's two stars added to the flag. I thought to myself, wouldn't it be precious if there were two stars added to the flag of heaven tonight? And my friend, that's a possibility. Two precious souls to come to the Lord Jesus to adorn the great banner of the honor of Christ forever and ever. I'm glad I'm saved. I wish that you had that assurance too. If you do, thank God for it. And if you don't, friend, get it tonight. That's the possibility of every gospel meeting. That's its purpose. Now, we're going to read in Mark chapter 4. We will read, please, at verse 3. Hearken, said the Savior, hearken. Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up, and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Verse 14. The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, some 100-fold. I wish to read three passages. The second one, please, in John's Gospel, chapter 1. I want you to notice three pictures or three figures that is used concerning the Lord Jesus. The first one is a sower. Most interesting that he likens himself unto a sower. Verse 29 of John 1. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A final reading in Revelation chapter 5. Verse 5, And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Now again, I mentioned that it is interesting and it really is instructive that the Lord in such simple manner presents himself to men. Sometimes I fear that perhaps preachers make the gospel complicated. And I hope that we do not do that, friend. For if it was complicated, I never could have gotten it. For more reasons than one. You can well understand that. But thank God I received the news of the gospel when I was only a boy of 9 years of age. And God saved my sinful soul. And tonight, my friend, the message of the gospel is really very simple to comprehend. It isn't a question of learning and learning and learning and adding two and two and two and two and you get eight. That's not the way God's salvation is received. So I hope tonight that particularly those of you who are accustomed to hearing the gospel, that you have not come along tonight hoping that you might get a little more. No, friend, it's not a little more that you need. It's a person you need.
And the Lord Jesus, you get them all at once. You don't get them in fractions. You don't get the Lord Jesus little by little by knowledge. You receive a person. And that's how salvation is received. You will have noted in these three passages that the Lord Jesus is pictured for us. He is a person. And he presents himself to sinners. Can I note with you the sower? There are three things in this passage which are often referred to, but I want to try and note particularly the Lord Jesus as a sower, sowing the word. Marvelous. I find that amazing. It's interesting when you read through the Bible to note the various ways that God visited people. Can you imagine what it must have meant for Lot and his family when God sent an angel? An angel actually came to their house. What would you do if an angel came to your house? Now, mind you, you're not going to get one. But what would you ever do? I don't doubt for a moment that, like myself, we would be so flustered and astounded and we'd be, oh my, we sure want to make sure the room was looking good and all tidied up and a few things like that. An angel has come, visited by God, by an angel sent from his presence. And mind you, Lot's wife felt the touch of an angel's hand on her own. Marvelous. That's how God visited them. There are other occasions you will recall that God visited Job with sickness. He had to lay Job on his back, and I mean lay him on his back. I've had boils in my day, and I had three of them at one time. Let me tell you, I was in agony. I couldn't go to school with three boils. What would it be like to have them on your ears and your neck and your nose and your back and your legs and your hands and the whole lot of you? Poor Job. But God visited him with that sickness. And I think of a man in Acts 16, and God visited him with a literal earthquake. We were speaking of an earthquake possibly expected through this area at some time, as the experts say so. My friend, it would be a horrendous experience to have the earth shake beneath you. And I've stood at an earthquake, let me tell you, and seen people hugging each other and weeping and crying out in panic and consternation. The earth shook. Visited by God. But my friend, can I say to you that the greatest visitation of all is when the Lord Jesus himself visits? And that's what happens in gospel meetings. The Lord Jesus from heaven, he visits individuals. He comes near to them just as we have in this picture. The sower, he has a seed in his hand. Exactly what the ground needs. He's visiting, as you will notice, first of all, fruitless fields. There's not one of them that have any fruit in them. And friend, that's what God is seeking to convey through the gospel. We're so prone to think that there is fruit in our life. There's something about me that God can accept. There's surely something about me that's not all bad weeds. The only thing found in this field were weeds and stones. That's all there was. It had to be plowed. It had to be visited, and the sower comes near to the field. Ah, my dear friend, tonight, I hope that what I have said will cause you at least to some degree to cherish the great privilege of coming to gospel meetings where the Lord is visiting fields. He's visited some already in these meetings, and they've received the seed, and they're bringing forth fruit, manifesting eternal life. And he's visited you tonight. The Lord Jesus visiting the field. Now we must notice the four different soils that are mentioned here, because I believe as I look at the teaching of the Lord Jesus, he's speaking of four characteristics that are going to be characteristic of the world from his time right to the end. And so every gospel meeting, we find that these four different characters of fields are manifested in meetings. My friend, you be wise tonight. You are not an exception. The Son of God knows the hearts of men. I look back to before I was saved. I could fit into this picture and I could tell you which one I was. In fact, I wonder sometimes if I wasn't more than one. I certainly remember when I was a Stony Ground hearer and I wanted salvation and I made a few jabs after it too and I tried to make myself feel happy about it. But the stones were in the ground. Hindrance to eternal life being received. How solemn. Yes, and there were other times when the old thorns were in my field too. And I remember them choking out, thinking about playing hockey when I was just a boy. thinking about going sledding with the boys in the winter while the gospel was being preached. My friend in this meeting tonight, the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, and as well, the hard ground hearer. Oh, how solemn. May I speak to you kindly tonight, you who are accustomed to hearing the gospel, and ask you, friend, would you be honest to face the revelation of the Lord Jesus tonight, to look at what sin has done to you? You were born with sin in your very nature. We all were. We can't help that. Now, you may not like to think of that, well, a little baby. Like my dear aunt said to me one time, dear woman, she's not yet saved by God's grace, 89 years of age, and has no ear for the gospel. It hurts my dear mother, her sister, as she thinks of her and prays for her every day. She said, do you mean to tell me that a little baby is a sinner? Why, how could that cute little innocent thing be a sinner? So I asked her, Auntie, I said, were you a sinner before your Jacqueline was born? Well, yes, of course, I made a few mistakes. I was a sinner. Well, and I said, how could she be anything else? Oh, I hate to face that, she says. I hate to face it. That's the truth of it, friend. We hate to face it, but it doesn't change the fact. Man is a sinner. When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, friend, he lost everything. The field is fruitless. There's nothing there for God. You don't have a thing to hang on to as a reason you could give to God to not be punished as a rebellious sinner against your benevolent Creator and kind God. Not one of us have. Oh, I hope that stirs our heart. I feel, friend, the need that we need a good stirring from God. You're far too complacent, young man, on the way down to hellfire. Oh, how awful it is. Far too at ease, my dear young lady. Can I reach you? I would, if I could tonight, put my hand into your very soul and give you a good look at what it means to be visited by the Lord Jesus and have absolutely nothing to offer him. Nothing but weeds and stones. What a solemn condition. A sinner before God. But can I note with you that the sower came with seed in his hand? Oh, what a precious movement of grace. He visited the ground that was hard. Now, I've often asked myself, how was that ground hard? I know one reason it was hard, because his feet had often trodden there. That sower had visited that ground many a time, and the ground was so accustomed to the footsteps of the sower, it became hardened. Oh, my soul, tonight, is it possible after these years, some of you here were cradled with the gospel, after these years, is it possible, have you ever faced the solemnity of the word of the book of Hebrews that tells you that man's heart is hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? It's not, friend, a man is never hardened by the gospel. The gospel breaks stones. The gospel melts ice. The gospel is that which brings blessing. That's not what hardens men's hearts. It's procrastination, putting off the visitations of the sower, and allowing the old devil to steal away the word. Oh, how solemn. Oh, friend, may I ask you, what would it be like for you to pass over the boundary of God's visitation, having felt the footsteps of the Son of God, having felt the touch of His hand upon your conscience, and yet to pass the Savior by and go into a great eternity that can never be reversed, never in any fashion be changed, an eternity without God, an eternity with only my sin, an eternity of woe forever and ever. God speak to you tonight, friend. Hearken to His voice. The sower has visited you, and you've become very hardened over the years of His visitations, and you never received the seed. That ground should have received the seed the first time it heard it. It wasn't hard then. And I look into your face, my dear boys and girls and older folk here tonight, mothers and fathers, you should have received Christ years ago. It would have been so much easier for you. The Lord Jesus said, you must become like a little child to receive it. See, that's the easiest time to get it. When you're young, when you're tender, when the Word of God is so easily received, and you're getting harder and harder and harder as the years go by. I hope that you will cry to God for mercy. I hope, my friend, that you will be honest before God. Your mother and your father, they bow their knee and they weep over your soul. They see the awful results of your carelessness and your procrastination and the pride of your being and the awfulness of your desires for other things at the expense of your soul's eternal salvation from coming judgment. Oh, that this night, your hardened heart, that you will bow and ask God for mercy, lest I die as I am, with all the years of the hardening of sin upon my soul. Yes, he carried the seed, and he came and he sowed the seed. Oh, I love that. You know, John 5:24 is one of the seeds that he sows. Beautiful seed. I ask you, friend, what will you do with it tonight? Listen to the words of the Savior. Verily, verily, I say unto you, there he is. He's putting the seed right into your ground, right into your heart, right into your mind tonight. He that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me hath everlasting life. My friend, there's life in that seed, eternal life. If you'd only take it in tonight, he's putting it within your grasp, eternal life. Right within the grasp of sinners, and yet they will rise from their chair and go out the door as they came in darkness, harder than ever, having felt the footstep of the sower himself, and never received the seed. Need I remind you of the beautiful seed that hangs behind me, which we love to refer to? We're glad to sow it. It's a good seed sower. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, that's a living seed. There's life in it. Eternal life is even mentioned in it. I love to think of Isaiah 53:5. If sin is a burden to you, and I hope your sins are a burden to you, for my friend, they shall become a burden heavier than a millstone when you go into eternity. And they will never leave you. The account of your sin will be charged against you forever because you did not receive the sinner's Savior. Oh, the awfulness of it. He was wounded for our transgressions. Beautiful seed. Oh, I love that. Think of many a soul that I've showed that verse to, and they saw in that the great thing that their heart was longing for. To know that their sins are put away and forever gone, because God says it. Living seed, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him. Look upon the Savior bleeding. Look upon him wounded upon the cross. Listen to the cry of his heart. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hearken to him, friend. Listen to his words of a bleeding, suffering Savior for sinners. It is finished. And he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. Friend, that's eternal life. That's substitution for condemned sinners. That's the Savior paying redemption price, and the price is paid. That's living seed. Oh, that you would take it in tonight and take the hold of the very thing that can give to you the assurance of everlasting life. Can I note with you, last of all, the good ground that received the seed? It's interesting to notice how Matthew, Mark, and Luke, when they're speaking of the good ground, each of them say a different thing about it. When Matthew speaks about the good ground, he says it's an honest heart. An honest heart. Ah, is there an honest heart here tonight? Now I mean, friend, honest with God that you have been that hardened sinner that should have been saved and you put it off. Oh, that's enough to make a soul tremble. To ponder, my friend, that you have put God away from you. That you have said no to the Lord Jesus in his past visitations. Tremble, my soul, tremble. For unless God has mercy on you, you will never, ever be in heaven. You will surely be lost eternally in the sorrows of the damned in hell. Oh, awful thought. Salvation was free, but you loved your vile sin. And my God would have saved you, but you cared not for him. And his spirit often strove, but you said to him, go, and now you're in hell, amidst its sorrow and woe. I hate to speak those words when I think of the reality of them. Think of a young man, 18 years of age, that fell from a shaft on a ship and broke his neck. And I remember that dear boy in gospel meetings, going out of the meeting, shaking my hand with tears on his face, Mr. Smith, I'd like salvation. And as we spoke to dear Dan, tried to show him the scriptures of what salvation was and how he could know that he had it, all of a sudden he stopped. He says, I've got to go now. That was the last time Danny ever asked after salvation. When he went and joined the Navy, his mother sent him gospel papers and Danny sent them back. Oh, how sad. Talk about being hard. Don't say you couldn't be that way, friend. Danny wept over his soul. Danny put the Savior from him. When he died, I had to take his funeral. Saddest funeral, I have to admit, that I have ever been responsible for. As a broken-hearted mother sat there with a folded flag in her hand, and all she could say was, I don't want a flag, I want my Danny. And he's gone. His brother came and threw himself over that casket. Dear Jerry did, threw his body over the casket, and these were his words, friend. No response, of course, from Dan. He's gone. Jerry said, oh, God, if Danny's in hell, have mercy on him. There's no mercy in hell, friend. Will you not take a hold of the great blessing of the living seed being put in your hand tonight before loved ones must weep over your still form? There's no mercy in hell. Sin is dragging you there. The devil's pushing you there. And time is getting away on you. And the living seed is right in your hand tonight. Will you not take it in an honest heart? When Mark speaks of it, as we read in our passage here tonight, Mark speaks of the seed. These are they which are sown on the good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Receive it. That word receive means you just take it with both hands. That's really the idea. Just grab it with both hands. The life belt, friend. The life belt for souls on the way down to the pit in their sin is John 3:16. Take a hold of it with both hands. It's yours, friend. That's why it's designed by God to meet your need. It's living seed put into thorny ground. Nothing but weeds. The seed of good in life must be put there. And it's put there by the gospel. Take a hold of it tonight and be saved. Now I will not look at the other passages that I read with you. I really didn't think I would have too much time to do so. But can I point, my friend, to you tonight, to the Lord Jesus visiting the good ground? They bring forth fruit. Ah, my, what a change there would be in you if you got saved. My friend, God's salvation always brings a change. There's fruitfulness of life there. Satisfaction with the Lord Jesus. A change of attitude. A change in their very person. A change of destiny. All because they received the seed. But before I sit down, can I note with you, not only was there hardened ground, not only was there good ground, but there stony ground. And my friend, there's stony ground in this meeting tonight. You say, how would you ever speak with such assurance as that? Because, my friend, you've not received it. There are things in your heart that are hindering the entrance of John 5:24. You say, well, I don't really know what it is. It's stones. Stones. Know what stones are? Stones. They were there from your birth. There's prejudice. There's pride. Pride has been well coined. Pride is a damning sin. We have nothing to be proud of. You have nothing to be proud of. By birth, you're a sinner before God. By practice, you've done your own thing.
instead of God's will.
It's solemn, friend, to be a sinner. May God write it upon every heart in this room tonight,
the solemnity of being a stony ground hearer. But there's something else about that stony ground hearer. They're superficial. Just a surface thing. Friend, it's not the surface that counts. It isn't a question of how you are acting. The question is, what's going on inside? What have you done with the plow that has sought to turn out those stones, to take away the hindrances, to try to get you to see in honesty, the word is for me, and receive it and bring forth fruit. Let nothing hinder you, friend. Need I remind you of friends that could hinder you? Need I remind you tonight of a world that could hinder you? Need I remind you, my friend, tonight of the deceitfulness of your own thoughts that could hinder you? Need I remind you tonight, friend, of the reality of the seed that is being put into your heart of God's way of salvation accomplished by the Savior on the cross? A living Savior who tonight invites sinners to receive His word. And he that heareth my word and believeth God that sent me hath everlasting life. What is the hindrance in your heart tonight to receiving that word? God graciously give you to see it and turn it up. Pitch it out, friend. I remember one time gathering stones with a farmer. Quite a job, a back-breaking job, let me tell you. I thought to myself when I began, I'm going to count them. I didn't want to be bothered counting after a while. Stones! Stones! And may I say, friend, it's not one stone that's in your heart. It's stony ground. Oh, God, give you to see your danger tonight and the awfulness of your need. You need to get down to business, friend, down on your knees before God. Would to God you would be made to cry out for mercy from heaven, lest you perish as you are in your sin tonight. May God graciously help you to take a hold of the seed. Let go of everything else. Take a hold of the seed of the Word of God and rejoice in Christ as your Savior.